himself in his appearance over here. Appearance of God. Well, you know what my name means? I'm sure Sarah's told you multiple times.
No, Sarah's princess.
Sarah's is what?
Princess.
Yes. She reminds me of that often. Sarah means princess. Do you know what Jonathan means? King. I like that, but no, I wouldn't want to be king. God's gracious gift. Yeah, maybe every once in a while. Names have meaning. Jesus' name has meaning. Emmanuel has meaning. What is our name as a church? Community of Hope. Can we say that a little louder? What is our name as a church?
Community of Hope.
Okay. What does that mean? We are a community of people that have hope. We are a community of people that offer hope. We are a community of people that can bring hope. We are a community of people that can share hope. And so in this timeout series here, do we have that? There we go. We got it back up on the screen. I love it. And by the way, you've got your little app notes. In this timeout series last week, Jesus Matters. We came up with, when we started this church, 8 things that mattered. And this isn't Micah 6:8, to act justly, love mercy, walk humbly. We'll get to that. But these are some things that to us matter as a church. And these are going to be focal points for us. But sometimes we lose sight of what those things are and we have to come back to them. What I wonder is if our name is Community of Hope, I just want you to think about this, all right? I don't mean this to be judgment, this isn't condemnation, but every once in a while we do invitation and then every once in a while we lay out a little bit of a challenge. And so I'm curious, to whom have you brought hope in the last 24 hours? Think about that. To whom have you brought hope in the last 24 hours? Maybe inside of our family, maybe that's it. But now outside of our family, to whom have you brought hope in the last 24 hours? To what neighbor did you bring hope to in the last 24 hours? To what coworker did you offer hope in the last 24 hours? Who has been on your mind from last week? Because Jesus matters. And so maybe in that was actually the week before Start and Stop. Maybe there's a person that we need to reach out to. Who's been on your mind that you answered that call of God and you reached out to them and you brought hope to them? You don't need to answer that. It's just for us to think about. Because what is our name?
Community of Hope.
Therefore, we are a community that offers
hope.
Are we?
No.
That I just want us to challenge ourselves without and say, are we? And that's why we get to do a little bit of a timeout here. And so I'm going to open up my app. If you want to open up your app, oh, that's my calendar. That won't help me. Here's my app. So I'm going to open up my app. And if you've got yours, you've got your little notes here. We're talking about hope today. It's our name. Hope matters. I want to make sure that we are people who know that we can have hope. Because to share it, what do you, got to have it, right? You can't really share what you don't have. So if you are without hope, it's difficult to share hope. But I hope that none of us, I know that none of us should be without hope. Because what do we have? Jesus. What's the origin of hope? What's the substance of hope? Jesus. What's the object of our hope? Jesus. Jesus matters. That's why that's first. Because Jesus is our hope. You see, what happens to us is often we get our eyes fixed on the problem that we're facing. Anyone ever been there? And it's really hard to see past that, right? Because that problem is staring us right in the face. Sometimes it could be parenting, sometimes it could be marriage, sometimes it could be other troubles and other relationships, it could be a job loss, it could be an addiction, it could be depression, it could be loneliness. And so sometimes we look at what is staring us in the face And all we can see, we're kind of blinded by that. It's like we have blinders on, and that's all we can see is the problem directly in front. And I have people right in front of me, so I don't want to do that. I don't want you to think you're the problem. All we can see is the problem that's right in front of us. See, y'all to me are not a problem. Y'all are a church, and y'all are beautiful, and y'all are people that I love. But right now, can I see you? Can I see God? Well, not a lot when I have my eyes just focused on my problem. And so a lot of times we get this singular vision where that's all we can see, and we forget that we have hope. I think some of this has to go back to a few weeks ago when we did that other series, Answering the Questions, Been Wondering. And one of the questions is, what about when Jesus seems far away? He seems distant, or he seems silent. Anybody remember that question? And I told you to distinguish between two things. Okay? That's really testing you, because this is before Christmas. But we had to distinguish between two things. Anyone at all have any idea and kind of remember that? It's between what we blank and what we blank. What we know and what we feel. So sometimes when our eyes are fixed just on our problem, we feel like there is no hope, correct? But what can we know? That there is. That there's something outside of those blinders, that those blinders can actually get removed completely. Because Jesus wants us to see him. So what we want to be able to focus on today is that we are a people of hope. We have hope in Jesus Christ. Are there moments where you feel like you don't have hope? Anybody raise a hand. If there's been a moment where you kind of feel like right now, I just don't know what to do. I feel like I just don't have a lot of hope. Or you felt like that sometime in the past. Raise your hand. Okay? Like that's almost all of us. What does that indicate to us? That we still need who? We still need Jesus. We still need Jesus all the time. That's why I love this church, because we're always going to be focused on Jesus. The other churches, like the one I talked about last week that I wouldn't name, that my son tried to ask me for the next day and a half. What was that church? And then he named off every church he could think of. Was it this one? Was it this one? Was it this one? And the answer was no, no, no. I'm not going to tell you. Did anyone look it up? Some of y'all I know are like that. You're going to look it up. Now you're like, what did he say last week? So I can know how to look it up. This church is always going to be focused on Jesus. And if we have Jesus, what do we by necessity have? Hope. Even if we don't feel it, we got it. Okay? And so for us, we need Jesus, but we also need each other sometimes, right? To stand around us and to remind us of that hope and to keep our eyes fixed and focused on that. So let's talk about hope a little bit. First of all, kind of a definition of hope. It's a very difficult thing to define perfectly. It's very similar to faith, but it's different than faith. So hope and faith. And actually, there's this other word, and they're used together in 1 Corinthians 13. Anyone know that other word? Love. That's next week, by the way. Okay? Love matters. But faith, hope, and love. It's almost a progression. Now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. And then the greatest is what? The greatest isn't even hope. Greatest isn't even faith. The greatest of these is love. Faith can lead us to hope. Faith, I think, is more like I think of Doubting Thomas. That we believe or we have faith even though we haven't seen. Now, have any of you seen in the flesh Jesus? Were any of you there when he died on the cross? Were any of you there when he rose from the grave? No, I wasn't either. We're not that old. We may feel like it sometimes, but we're not that old. We weren't there. But we have faith even though we didn't see it. Now, hope looks forward. Hope is kind of a future thing. God, when he was here, and when he died, and when he rose from the grave, he made promises to us. Jesus gave us promises. Hope is based on the promises of God. Hope is a strong and confident expectation for the future. It will happen. The promises of God will happen because God is faithful, because God is strong, because God has made these promises, and we have faith in that. And so now we can have a confident hope and expectation that these will be realized. So hope is a strong and confident expectation. That's a future tense. It means into the future because of and in the power and promises of God. That's my definition. It's similar to other things you'll find, but that's what I believe hope is. Now, Jesus, as we've already talked about, was the origin of hope. He's the author of hope. He's the one who gives us hope. And we find that all over in Scripture. There's countless verses that talk about God being our hope. I just shared a couple of them with you. Psalm 39:7. And now, O Lord, for what do I wait? What am I waiting for? What are you waiting for? Anybody? You waiting for a raise, more money? You waiting for the trouble that you're having right now at your job to go away? Guess what? You know what I always say? Guess what? When that one goes away, there's two more coming. There's two more coming. Because are troubles ever going to go away?
Nope.
On this side of heaven, no. That's why it's a good thing to have hope, because hope looks ahead to the future. So for what do I wait? Don't wait for a job. Don't wait for a person. The right person comes in my life, then I'll have hope. Yes, his name is Jesus. He already came. So stop singing the song. Okay? Chris, you got to tell me what the song is about. God of heaven, come down. Heaven, come down. I already did. He's saying, I already did. No, I'm just curious. I want to go talk to Robbie C. and go, he already came. Is it about his future coming? Anyway, Robbie C., if you're listening to this, tell me what you were what the thought track was. Because I love that song. It's great. And I love your presence is enough. See, here's the thing about when we sing that song. God of heaven, come down. What has he already done? Come down. And where is he right now? Right with you. Daisy, will you do me a favor while you walk out that door? Okay, this is called church discipline. No, it's not really. this is not really. Okay, you can shut the door. Okay, where's God right now?
Here.
But he's right out there too, isn't he? Where's God for Daisy? He's with her. God, you can tell her to come back in now. Yeah, I don't know if that's going to work. Okay, do you know who was with you when you were out there? Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Because no matter where we go, Jesus is with us. So what do we have? We have hope. We just have a hard time seeing that. So let's keep our focus on that. My hope is in you. So Psalm 39:7 said, and now, O Lord, for what do I wait? None of those other things is going to do it. My hope is in you. Psalm 71:5, worded a little differently. For you, O Lord, are my hope. You are my hope. Not just you're the object, my hope is in you. You are my hope. You remove you, what do I not have anymore? Hope. Now I am hopeless. I am hopeless. So for you, O Lord, are my hope, my trust, O Lord, from my youth. And then I want to get to this one now, because I want to get into a little bit of, so Jesus is our hope. And I'm going to read this Romans 1 in just a second. Jesus is our hope. I want us to remember that. Even when we don't feel it, okay, we can know it. It's true. He is our hope. My hope is in you. And he's always with us. Even if we get thrown outside, he's still with us. And he was still with us. He was still with Daisy. He was still with us. Because no matter where we go, Jesus is with us. And that's beautiful. And so we can have hope. That's just the fact. Because hope is a confident expectation of the future because of the promises of God. And what did God promise? I will never what? Leave you nor forsake you. I will be what? With you always. He also promised eternal life for those who believed in him. And so our hope is toward the future, toward eternal life. So Jesus is hope. But now I want us to think a little bit outside the box. We know that the real answer to what people need if they need hope is they need Jesus. But when Jesus was on this world, he recognized that people needed him. But how did he truly bring people in to offer them hope? How did Jesus offer people hope? Anybody have an idea? I want you to think about that for a second. Just think about what you know about Jesus and his interaction with people. How did Jesus offer people hope? Some of you are cheating. I see you scrolling up on your app looking like, am I going to get the answers there? Don't do that. Just try to come up with them. What's that? He loved them. Okay. She cheated. Anybody else? She cheated because she lives with me. And we talked about it. But anybody else? She remembered one though. That's good. How did Jesus offer hope? Okay, he had authority, he had power, he was doing something new, and he showed him evidence of that. Sarah came up with that too. The very first thing she said when I asked her was miracles. She's like, well, if you heal people, if you raise someone from the dead, yeah, it's going to give them hope. But I would actually challenge that a little bit. I think that lured them in, but that wasn't where their hope ultimately was found by Jesus. Because the 12... It was just his words at that point, but the 12, and there were some things maybe that he had done, but the 12 came, and it wasn't because he did a miracle in their life. He just said to Peter, follow me, and he dropped his nets, and he followed him. That's pretty powerful. So Jesus was their hope. I heard something over here somewhere. I don't know who said it. Relationship, okay? So Jesus offered people relationship. He gave the 12 a very close relationship. For 3 years, they went everywhere together. They lived together. They ate together. They walked together. They shared together. I guarantee you they cried together. I guarantee you they laughed together. They were together. And he built relationship. So as I was thinking about this, I started looking. And I came up with a couple of things. I came up with like 7, 8, 9. I thought that's too many, so let's just narrow it down. So here's a few of the things that I came up with. Let's look at Romans 5, and we'll see which one comes out of this. It's a passage, chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. It's an incredible passage that reminds us a little bit about hope. It uses hope multiple times, but our focus is going to be the very end, just so you know. So listen as we're leading up to the last verse. But then the focal point for us right now is going to be the very last verse. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. Amen? Amen. That's good. That's hope. We are justified by faith. We trust and have faith in Jesus Christ. So we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand. And so it was grace that brought us into this relationship and brought us to faith, and that's the faith in grace in which we stand. And we exult in the hope of the glory of God. And not only this, and this is one of those really difficult passages for us sometimes, we also exult in our tribulations. Tribulations, hard times, okay? So we exult in our tribulations, our hard times, knowing that tribulations bring about perseverance. So the more hard times we face, the stronger we get because we endure, we persevere through those hard times. And perseverance brings about proven character. It shapes us into who we are. It gives us integrity. It gives us character. And proven character leads to hope because of the promises of God. And I love this passage. And I put it in the NASB because this was the way I memorized it. And I just, for some reason, I like this better than the ESV and the NIV. The NASB says, "And hope does not disappoint." Hope does not disappoint. Have you ever been disappointed by somebody? Oh my goodness. How far back do you want me to go? We're disappointed in this world and by people all the time. And that's why I just love that. And hope does not disappoint us. Because it's a confident expectation of the future because of the promises of God. Hope does not disappoint. Because the love of God, there's that word. Because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. So the very first thing that I want to just show you on here is Jesus loved people. And I believe that is what opened the door for them to have hope. It was first and foremost his love. When he's walking by and there's a person who's a leper or there's a person who's paralyzed and cannot move, who maybe even can't speak, or he is using everything he has to holler out. And what did he holler? Jesus? Messiah? Whatever it was that they hollered out, and we have some biblical examples, and sometimes we just have to know it happened everywhere he went. People hollering out to him. What did he do to that person? He gave them attention, right? He showed them love. He gave his life on the cross, the greatest description or example or evidence of love that we could ever have. The greatest measure of love is Jesus' death on the cross. It's a love for the Father to be obedient and love for us to bring us back into a relationship. That's powerful stuff. And so Jesus truly loved people. We don't want to talk too much about that because next week is what matters? Love matters. So we'll talk more about love next week. But here's the second thing, and I think this is crucial. He not only loved people, in loving them, what did he offer them? Value. Jesus valued people. In this day and age, what do 9 out of 10 people that you meet not feel that they have? Value. Okay, maybe it's not 9 out of 10. Maybe if you go to schools like this or go to some of our high schools, I bet 60 to 70% of the people there do not feel at any given time like they have value. And you know what that is? That's really sad. What did Jesus offer people? Value. He looked at them when nobody else would. I love the fact that it was a leper and no one else would get like within. I don't even know what the correct distance was to be able to be away from a leper. Lepers had to stay a certain distance away from you. But whatever it was, Jesus broke right through that barrier and touched a leper. People wouldn't even talk to a leper, except maybe from a distance, shouting at them to get away because they were in their zone. Lepers were outcasts. They had been rejected simply because people were afraid that they would catch it too. And what did Jesus do? Walked right up to that leper who maybe hadn't been touched, physical touch, in 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, and imagine what shot through that body when Jesus placed a hand on that shoulder. I guarantee you, all of a sudden there was feeling again. That's powerful. They had value. Value is kind of like acceptance. Now, that doesn't mean we accept everything that people do. See, this is something we've got to distinguish in this world, in this day and age. Do we accept everything people do? No. Is all of that true and right? No. But does God call us to love them and value and accept them? Yeah, He does. God wants to reach them, and maybe we're the person He's going to use to reach them. And so when we value people, it opens them up to hearing about hope and to receiving hope. And I just think that's a powerful thing. So He loved people. He valued people. He recognized them. He called attention to them. He gave them time and attention. Jesus encouraged people all the time. Sometimes it was with challenge. Sometimes it was just with words. I often think of the encounter with the woman who was caught in adultery. That whole situation just makes me wonder, what were the Pharisees thinking? I know they were thinking they were going to trap Jesus. They catch a woman caught in adultery, and where was the guy? He's not brought to the scene. Well, that's pretty lame. I hope he got his due share too. So they bring this woman caught in shame, and they put her before Jesus, and we don't know, is she clothed? If she was caught in the act of adultery, I don't know. And they put her right there in the middle of everyone and in front of Jesus, and they're trying to trap him. And they say, so what about her? Caught in the act of adultery. You know, the Old Testament says we got to stone her. So here's some rocks. What do you say, Jesus? And you know what Jesus did? Anybody know the story? You know what he did? He didn't speak. He bends down. He starts doodling. And he draws a line in the sand. And I think, in a sense, he was on one side of that line, and they were on the other side of that line. And maybe we've never seen that symbolism. He who is without sin, who is that? Jesus. That's Jesus, who's on this side of the line. So he says, he who is without sin, cast the first stone. Imagine what that woman felt. There was encouragement there because she wasn't judged or condemned. And I guarantee you, because of that encouragement, because of the love, because she now had some value, it wasn't a miracle. He didn't heal her. He didn't raise her daughter from the dead. He simply drew a line in the sand and said, whoever is without sin, cast the first stone. And I think hope probably came to her at that very moment. And that was an encouragement to her. Jesus found a way to encourage people. He loved them. He valued them. He encouraged people, sometimes even though, yes, by challenging. Jesus shared truth with people. That's the last one that I put here. Again, there's so many others. But Jesus shared truth with people. I think that's key. That's crucial. So that was the woman caught in adultery. We also have the woman at the well that he had a conversation with. And he shared truth with her about her life and truth with her about who God is and who he was. Jesus shared truth with people about the way to live, about I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. He was pointing people to himself because he knew that in him, they would find their hope. I didn't put this on there, but the one that really stands out to me is, honestly, Jesus was just here with us. Doesn't that give us hope? The song that we sang, Song of Hope, I love the line, Just to know that you are here, and then the next two words, is enough. Would you say, I agree? Just to know that you are here, Jesus, it's enough. I may have no idea what to do with my family. I may have no idea what to do with my job. I may have no idea with that money situation that I'm facing. I may have no idea what to do with this addiction that I can't seem to shake. I may have no idea what to do with this loneliness that creeps in and just attacks me. But just to know, Jesus, that you are here, that's enough. That's enough. It's the very presence of Jesus that offered hope, because he's Emmanuel, God with us. So what is our name? How did Jesus offer hope? Now, obviously, the answer is himself. Okay? And yes, he did miracles, and maybe God will do mighty miracles through us. But outside of that, on a daily basis, how did Jesus pour hope into people's lives? He showed up. He showed up. He was there. How are we going to offer hope to someone that needs hope? Show up. We got to be there. And could you be there with a text? Yeah. Do you know a text can change somebody's day? Do you know looking at someone and smiling and a head nod can change somebody's day? Do you know saying, hi, can change somebody's day? Do you know saying, I really like that sweater, can change somebody's day? Do you know saying, PJ, your hair looks great, can change somebody's day? Don't say that to me because I know you're lying, okay? But to say that to somebody else, your hair looks great. That can change somebody's day. It can. Is that what they need? Now they have hope. It's an invitation to hope. It's an invitation. Sarah told me the story. It was about this thing she went to. I'll be very quick with it. This guy was telling a story. He's a speaker. And this was a thing about mental health given out by the district that she went to for her job. And she said he told a story about how he was so distraught. He was crushed. He felt hopeless. Okay, I don't know his faith background. We don't know any of that part of the story. But he felt like he had no hope and he was going to end his life. And he said to himself, if someone just acknowledges me, I won't do it. If someone simply acknowledges me, a head nod, a hello, a how you doing, a pat on the back, if someone acknowledges me, I won't do it. If they just ask me how I'm doing, they recognize that they're, because he's distraught, he's weeping. He actually walked to a bridge, the Golden Gate, okay, whoa, San Francisco, Golden Gate Bridge. If you've been on that, that's a pretty scary look down. He went through and passed multiple people on his way, hoping. See, that's the way we use hope. That's not a confident expectation. It's a wish. Wishing that someone would simply acknowledge him, ask him how he was doing, smile at him, and guess what? Nothing. Went all the way to the bridge, and because of that, he got there, and he's distraught, and somehow a woman was on the bridge, and she said, excuse me, will you take a picture for me? And that was the trigger. I have no hope. This person came and go, excuse me, are you okay? It was, excuse me, can you take a picture of me? And he jumped. Somehow, the way he landed, he is paralyzed for life, but he didn't die. And now he speaks to people about hope and how we can be agents of hope and people that offer hope to the world simply through a smile, a how you doing, a pat on the back, an acknowledgement, are you okay? Anything. You got to be there. You got to show up. And so Jesus showed up. I think that's the way that we're going to offer people hope, is by showing up. So what are some ways that you could show hope to someone? I'm asking. This is not rhetorical. I'm actually asking. What are some ways that you could show up? Anybody? A phone call. Is a phone call showing up? You bet it is. A phone call to that person would have been showing up. How are you doing? What do you think? A text. Because that's even easier. I can just do it like I'm in a meeting. Can't make a phone call in a meeting, but I can send a little text in the meeting. Hey, I was just thinking about you right now in a meeting because I'm bored stiff and I was thinking about you. How you doing? You know what? Texts like that can go a really long, long way. A text, a phone call. How can we show up? Go up to them and go, hi, how you doing? Maybe go up to them and go, I'm not sure I know you at school or at work. Are you new? And then they go, and this is always embarrassing. No, I've been here 10 years. No, I'm one of the founding fathers of this company. Yeah. And they're like, oh, great. Foot, mouth, introduce yourself. But put ourselves at risk of being embarrassed to offer somebody hope. Do you know what you can do that no one will ever know that could offer somebody hope? Pray for them. Because we're calling on the God that created the heavens and the earth. And that can offer somebody hope because God will step in and God can bring hope. So with all of this stuff, what I want us to think about is how can we, first, we got to have it. You got to know that you have hope because you have Jesus. You've got Jesus. You are loved. You are forgiven. The God that created the heavens and the earth is with you all the time. And I want you to know that. Even when your feelings betray you, know that that is true. But then I pray that that hope will overflow out of us and will go out into the world. So how can we, as the church, offer hope to people we know? Let's see, I have an interesting list here. Number one, love them. Who did that first? That would be Jesus. Number two, value them. Who was it that kept bringing value to people by acknowledging them? Jesus, right. Yeah. Encourage them. Jesus did it first. Are you going to say it before I even read it? There we go. Shared the truth with them. Because maybe that hug, that text, that call, that mow their lawn, that meal that you made, that prayer that you offered up will open up the door for you to share Jesus with them. Because ultimately we know that's where hope lies.
I have an idea. You can make a cake.
You can make a cake. What kind of cake was it?
We need two more cakes. A strawberry shortcake and I forgot.
A strawberry shortcake. And some other kind. Two other kinds. I think all of these things open the door to point people to Jesus, and he is the God of hope. So my favorite verse about hope is Romans 15:13. Once again, I didn't use the ESV here. I used the NIV because this is the way I memorized it. And for some reason, that's just what's kind of implanted in my brain. But may the God of hope, I love that. He's a God filled with what? Filled with hope. You need hope? He's the dispenser. May the God of hope fill you. May the God of hope fill every one of you and me. May the God of hope fill you with joy and peace. Because those things come along with hope. When we have hope, guess what? There's a boldness and a strength and a confidence. There really is. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him. And then I love this part. So that you may do what your name says you are. So that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. What are people that you interact with today going to need? Hope. What does sometimes your spouse need? What do your children need? What do your parents need? What do your aunts and uncles and cousins and grandparents and everyone in your immediate family, what do they need? What about the neighbors? What about the people at the mall? What about the person at Whataburger when you go get lunch? Mmm, Whataburger. Shameless plug. I don't get anything for it, but I sure like it. Everywhere we go, hope. Hope. So we are who? Community of what?
Hope.
Say loud, we are what?
Hope.
Community of hope. We need to all say that again. We had some people saying community, some people saying hope, some people saying community of hope. Let's say it all together. Our whole name. We are?
Community of hope.
Okay, we said it fast, we said it short. Either way. It doesn't matter. It comes in all shapes and sizes. We are a community of hope. You've got it? Let's offer it. Let's share it. Amen?
Amen.